I'm single. How can I deal with my loneliness? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, this is Mike Keller. You are now listening to Key Life, where the Bible becomes relevant to your daily life. If you have a Bible, get it. And here is our teacher, Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great Christmas. And I hope you did, too. We were discussing, Eric is the producer of this broadcast, and I stare him in the eye through a glass window where he sits with all kinds of buttons and stuff and tells me what to say and how to say it and where I made the mistake and what needs to be fixed. And we were discussing what we were going to do today. And I said, you know, I don't think I'm going to go back to Micah for just one day because Pete will be in tomorrow and we'll answer questions today. And we're way behind on questions. And so I'm going to try to catch up on some of, I'm just going to devote today's broadcast to some questions. And then Pete will be in tomorrow, and we'll do the same thing then. And then Eric said, well, are you going to do Christmas questions? I said, are you crazy? We're all tired of Christmas. I don't want to do any more Christmas presents. That's the last thing I want to think about today. Today, I don't want to see a Santa Claus or a Christmas tree. I don't want to hear any more Christmas music. I just want normal. I want normal again. But I've had a wonderful Christmas, and I hope you have too. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to take today and just answer some normal questions because we are way behind. A couple of notes I want you to remember. Don't forget the pastor's conference if you're a pastor. We still have some openings, but they're going pretty fast. And if you would like to give your pastor a gift that would just change him or her, it's January 23rd through the 25th here in Orlando. And Dan Allender's going to be here, and he is an absolute delight. If you've read his books, you know that. Tom Wood, who does Graced Again, is going to be here. Steve Childers, who probably knows more about missions and church planning than anybody I've ever known. Pastor Pete, Charlie and Ruth Jones, Peculiar People, going to be doing drama. Buddy Green, Nashville recording artist, is going to be singing. And we've kept the price down really low. And if you'd like a brochure, some information, go on our webpage at www.keylife.org or give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE. Or you can drop us a note, Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794. Key Life Canada Post Office Box 280. This is in Canada. Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. Or you can call us at 1-800-KEY-LIFE. I don't know if I gave that number. And by the way, don't forget, so many of you had asked me about it, and I couldn't give you an answer because I didn't want to overwhelm my friend Tom Wood in Atlanta. But he's a guy who really understands grace, and every few days he'll send out a free email to people on the list, and it's called Graced Again. And if you'd like to find out about it, you can go to his website, www.gracedagain.com. I don't get anything for that. I just wanted you to it just meant so much to me. Sometimes when I'm down, I get that email, and it's just a quote, generally from one of the church fathers or from a variety of sources, and you'll like it. It's www.gracedagain.com. Graced Again is one word. Well, we're way behind on these questions. Let me get to some of them. This is an email. As a single person, what can I do with my loneliness? You know what the church often has said? Well, deal with it. Make some friends. Go to the movies or something. I don't want to hear about it. And we don't understand how very painful it is. The church is geared, and most churches are, to families, to family issues. There's the intimacy that takes place within a family. And at Christmas, oh, man, it's even harder during that time. And so first, I would say it's not so much what you do with it, it's what we do with it. We need, as your brothers and sisters, to stand with you. We need to be especially sensitive, especially open to single people in our congregations. We need to invite them to dinner, to include them in our family gatherings, because they're part of the family. And so I would say to the single person, well, I wouldn't say anything to you. I'd say something to the church that you make a difference. And then I would say to you, do make sure that you begin to develop friendships. That never is a substitute. And I know the pain, and I know how difficult it is. I know the sexual issues that are involved there. I know all of that. And the people of God should know all of that, too. So reach out. Volunteer for things. Be involved. And then go to Jesus, the friend of lonely people. He really is. I have a friend, her name is Melody, who is married, but she's single now. She was, a number of years ago, it was Christmas, and she said, Lord, I'm so lonely. And everybody else, and this is Christmas. And she said, God said, it's not your party. And, that isn't a harsh statement. It's a statement, run to Jesus. He was lonely too. He was single the way you are too. And I would say primarily in answer to this question, to the people of God, be aware of those in your congregation who are single. This is from California. How can we as Christians get the message of God's grace out to more and more people? You know what makes that hard? It's hard because all of us who are religious, quote, like to feel self-righteous. And that's the one thing that we ought not feel. I used to wonder why people got so mad because I said God wasn't angry, that God loved without condition or reservation. I used to think, and people are really mad at me for saying that. I would think that they would rise up and call me blessed or something, or they would send gifts or money or something. But people get mad when I do that. And the thing about grace is that in order to understand radical grace, you got to understand your radical sin. That's why Jesus dealt with those people that the rest of society didn't like very much, the wine bibbers and the sinners. In Luke 7, when the prostitute breaks into a Pharisee dinner party, Jesus reached out to her. Now, was that because he loved her more than he did the Pharisees? No. It's just that she couldn't understand. She was the only one who could understand the grace and the unconditional love that he was giving. So when God shows you yourself, when you realize your sin, that may be the best gift that he gives you, because it sends you running to him, and mercy always comes running to you. And so I would say, as Christians, we got to look for the wounded, and we got to look for the hurt, and the people who are sinful, the people who are considered not acceptable. They can hear grace. They can hear grace. They can understand, and we need to go to people like that. We need to pray for those who think that they don't. You remember Jesus said, I didn't come for the well. I'm a physician who came for the sick. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So you got to find people who know that and tell them, and they'll be open. But you can hardly say that to religious people. When you say to religious people, God loves you, they say, well, of course. I went to church last Sunday. I read the Bible 8 times yesterday. I prayed on my knees until I had of course he loves me. Why would he not love me? When you say, God gives you grace, and he forgives you of all your sins. And you say, well, of course, I only told a white lie back in 1994. That, of course he forgives my sins. But he doesn't forgive yours because you got some really bad ones. You got to know that you need grace before people can hear it. So, dear friend in California, look for those who know. And go to them as one beggar to another beggar, telling them where you found bread. This is from North Carolina. What does the Bible teach about our emotions? Are we to express our emotions, including anger and frustration with God? Yes, we are. There's a theological debate whether God has passions and parts the way we do. That's a statement from the Westminster Confession of Faith. And if you want to read a great book, read John Frame's book, No Other God. It's about the openness theism issue, but he shows how God does have passion, how God does relate, how he is sad, how he has emotions, because that is a personality-centered thing. And we're created in the image of God with passions also, and with personality, and with feelings. Now, if you're angry with God, there are those who will say, don't tell him. Is that dumb or what? Like, God says, whew, I'm glad they didn't tell me because I didn't want to know that. God knows how you feel. Read Dan Allender and Tremper Longman's book, The Cry of the Soul, about the psalmist. Or even better, read the book of the Psalms. Read the anger that is expressed sometimes and the pain and the emotion that is expressed. The cry of the soul. And of course, we're supposed to do that. Sometimes I'm angry at God because he's the only one who will accept my anger and not reject me. You know, the hard thing about doing what I do is that I got to be Christ-like even when I'm not. I've learned how to fake it, man. I'll smile at people when they say, that's the worst sermon I ever heard in my entire life. And you're a twit. How could you have said things like that? And then I remember who I represent, and I have to smile and say, God bless you for being honest with me. When inside, I'm thinking, when I get back to my study and kneel down, I'm going to pray for your death. It's a joke. I'm just kidding. But there are places where I need to express anger, and I express it before God. Sometimes I don't even like what he's doing and telling him so. And let me tell you something. I've checked, and he's not angry at me. And he loves me, of course. Be human before God. He created you to be human. He created you with emotions. How can we encourage Christian artists? This is an email. You know, that's a good question, and it's a very, very important question. The church has, in the past, not encouraged the arts. In fact, there was a time when we kicked them out of the church and said that what they were doing was of the devil, and if they really loved Jesus, they would paint pictures of Jesus, and they would sing songs about Jesus, and that's it. But there's a new understanding, and I'm glad for it when I see it in the church. People are beginning to see that these are people who reflect the God who created beauty. And I think in the church, we need to look for those of people who have been given the gift of art, in wherever, writing, the visual arts, dance. We need to encourage that because that is the proper and biblical way to worship God. Now, you might want to have an art show to show the works of the artist in your church. You might want to have a drama night where you don't just do Christian drama. You do drama and invite all your pagan friends. You might want to have a jazz concert that isn't just Christian jazz, but really fun. Encourage the artists. They're a gift to us. Hey, listen, guys, I got to go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.